Good morning. Here we are in Eastertide, and the scripture reading for today is Psalm 23. It's shared by us and our sisters and brothers around the world. It is called the lectionary reading for this particular Sunday of Eastertide. Psalm 23 is very familiar, and we're going to try to take a fresh look and perhaps give you some ideas that will strengthen your faith and deepen your roots and your conviction around our God. I'm going to read it to refresh your memory. And then I hope that we share some different insights today. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you not only for listening, but some of you I could hear were saying it along the way. It's one of the few psalms that we memorize today. We often recite the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, and the 23rd Psalm. I think those are the two most memorized prayers from Scripture in the world today. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's just stay with that today. The Lord is my shepherd. My shepherd. What a powerful image shepherd has been, not only recently, but throughout thousands of years in the Middle East. Shepherd was a reference to the leaders of tribes and nations. Kings were to shepherd their people. They were to protect them, provide for them, especially during times of famine. Shield them from the warring nations that sought to take over their land or their possessions. And they were to promote the welfare of that community. A noble concept. For the nation of Israel, they refer to Moses as the great shepherd. Moses, who led the people away from Pharaoh to the promised land. And during that entire 40 years, it's recorded in Scripture, the people lacked nothing. They did not want for anything. Moses, with God's help, guided, sheltered, provided for the people. And of course, as Christians, when we hear the word shepherd, we think of our good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came that we could have life and have it abundantly. That's why I think 23rd Psalm needs to be repeated in our everyday living so we could have life. Is it appropriate to share at funerals? Absolutely. But it can't be contained to that time in our life cycle. It's for everyday living. The Lord is and shall be our shepherd. The Hebrew verbs to be translated in the present and future. The Lord is and will be our shepherd. And we don't lack for anything, nor shall we in the future. That's the promise. The two go together, however. Because the Lord is our shepherd, therefore we do not lack. Now, sometimes it's a matter of perspective, and us maturing in the perspective to understand that we're not lacking. I know when I was 6 years old, I had one of those cap pistols. Now, you youngsters, if you don't know what cap guns are, you can Google it. But we played bank robbers and sheriffs and marshals. So some of the kids would be the bank robbers and other kids would be the sheriffs and the marshals. And we had our cap guns. Well, mine worked fine, but it wasn't as cool as the other kids. Tom and Bill had brand new ones. And Georgie had a huge cap gun. So I told my mom I need another one. Well, she said, Jimmy, you know, does it work? Yeah, it works. Do the caps go off? Yes, the caps go off. Then I think you're okay with that one. Plus, I saw you carrying a stick with your cap gun. Well, yeah, Mom, I needed a rifle to stop the bank robbers from getting too close to the bank. So the stick served as that. She says, well, that's wonderful. Stay with your stick and your cap gun. She was helping me what? She was shepherding me to learn to be content, to be grateful for what I had, and to be creative, to continue to be creative. She was affirming that creativity. And I think that during the past 6 weeks, sitting in her house, around the house, we realized how much we have been blessed. We have so many blessings. And so part of this time period is learning to be content with what we do have. And learning to be grateful and creative. I hear a lot of stories of households and couples and parents and children being very creative in how they come together and utilize their time, whether it's chalk drawings on the driveways or taking hikes around the backyard. I can remember I used to mow paths in our yard. I would let the grass get tall and then cut paths, and the kids would run for hours through the mazes. It's amazing what God, as shepherd, can do to help us with our perspective. Now, because we say, the Lord is my shepherd, we have to give more and more of our life over to the shepherd. We are entrusting our lives to the shepherd, but we usually don't go in 100%. We hold back. We have to be careful, though. We will lack, particularly in areas where we haven't entrusted those areas to God. And you say, tell me more about trust. Well, I think we've all experienced it in limited fashions. Mary and I used to work at a summer Christian conference, and 9:30 at night, we would have the teens for an hour, and we were on a college campus, and we were assigned a 19-year-old college student who was our guide. And so he was going to take us to a campfire. We were going to have s'mores. But we had to go down through the woods and a steep bank over the swinging bridge to find the campfire. He was the only one with a flashlight. 26 of us. So we formed a line, everybody holding onto the shoulder in front of them or just touching it periodically. And down this dark path, he lit the way. And then he would say to the person behind him, root to the left, stone to the right, be careful. We went down that hill step by step, each person counting on the person in front of them to guide them and guide their feet. Got to the bottom, and we found that swinging bridge, and you can believe it's a bridge, but you trust it when you go across it. And so we went across it, and then we had s'mores, and we entrusted to that 19-year-old college guide our lives going down the paths of Messiah College in the middle of the night. Trust. We trust the Savior. We trust our God. And the more of our life that we trust to God, the more we can say, I shall not lack. I shall not want. It's interesting, though, that we're not quite there yet. There was a renowned psychiatrist, Irving D. Yalom, who conducted a therapeutic exercise. He would partner people up in a room. They were all strangers. And then for a time, they were to ask each other this question. What do you want? And they were to repeat this question over and over and over again. What do you want? And within a few minutes, there would be an emotional wave. It would evoke powerful feelings that hadn't been previously identified. And this was a group of people that were well-functioning, successful people. But what do you want stirred them? And the kinds of comments he records they made, they would call out to absent or deceased friends or relatives or parents, I want to know you love me. I want to know that you're proud of me. I want the childhood back that I didn't have. So much wanting, so much longing, the doctor writes, and he says this pain is always there, just beneath the membrane of life. Now the psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And yet here is an emotional response. What do you want? What do you want? There are deep-seated wants buried in the pain. I believe we have to bring them to the good shepherd who is the healer. We believe that though friends and parents that have died have gone on before, we believe they're saints just beyond the veil. Our God says they're cheering us on. They can see us. We can talk to them and know they love us and are proud of us now. If you lost your childhood, if you had a terrible ordeal for years, those aren't lost years. The scripture says the Lord restores the years the locust ate. The Lord is our shepherd now and will be into a glorious future, a future of restoration, because the Lord is our shepherd and brings us abundant life. Someone says, I want to get rid of this feeling of loneliness. I remember a few weeks ago, somebody said to me, Jim, if I disappeared, would anyone notice? Would anyone care? Answer is, not only would we care as our community, but the shepherd would care. Do you remember the story of the 100 sheep? 100 sheep. But the shepherd knew that one had wandered away and gotten lost. And the shepherd went and searched so passionately for that sheep that when that one was found, the shepherd rejoiced, even though he had to carry the sheep back, maybe miles back to the flock. That's our God. That's our God rejoicing when we get carried back to community. Away from wherever it is we've wandered to, or however lonely we may feel, God will carry us until we're restored to relationships. And then I love that story because there's a party. When the shepherd gets back, all the other shepherds get together and they rejoice in the one that's come back. So our God is not only a passionately searching God, But our God wants to rejoice with us again and again. Well, I hope if you stay with that phrase, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, it will have deeper meaning. And also, as the shepherd takes over more and more and more of the parts of our lives, we shall lack less. I shall not want for anything. One final thought. A few years ago, we studied a book by a Methodist pastor, Dr. James Bryan Smith. It was called The Good and Beautiful God, and he had soul training exercises, and one of them was to pray the 23rd Psalm. His key concept was that this psalm reminds us that God is with us, caring, providing for us, even in difficult times and circumstances. Dr. Smith wrote, try to recite this poem, the psalm, before you fall asleep each night, and again when you awake. Before your feet hit the ground, try to have slowly meditated on each word. Recite it so often this week that it becomes second nature to you, as natural as breathing. I think that's good advice. And so that is an opportunity for this week to recite that psalm at night and in the morning before you even get out of bed. And I believe that this psalm will strengthen our faith. But even more so, by saying, the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want, we will actually feel the presence of the shepherd. To God be the glory.